just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after
to invite you over to the book of Genesis chapter 4 verse 3. The book of Genesis chapter 4 verse 3. Genesis chapter 4 verse 3 reads this way. It says, "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, knowing the truth that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence even thus far. We ask, Lord, that you bless with the guidance and the power of your Holy Spirit to bring us into your truth, Lord, that you would have for us to hear today, that you might be glorified. And Lord, the faith that you've given to us be strengthened, and the witness, Lord, that you give us, that we might be the light and the salt that you've called us to be. And Lord, if there's anyone in our midst that knows you not as Savior, that this would be the day that you would speak to their hearts, convict them of that need, and that they would trust you even today. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is An Offering Unto the Lord, and you found that right there in the verse. An offering unto the Lord. The world has an idea of what they would like to give to God. The problem with that is there's a problem with it, and that is that it's not what God's asking for. And so God wants us to know what is an offering that we can bring acceptably before the Lord. Do you know that you can make an offering even today, and not just on Sunday, but God wants us to have an offering to bring to Him every day. And by the way, He is the provider of that offering. Did He not provide the first offering for our eternal life, salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? And our God never changes. So guess what? Every offering that you and I can offer up to the Lord will be provided by the Lord. Isn't that good? So this morning, we want to look at three truths that glorify the Lord and bring peace and rest, the rest of God, not the world's rest and not the world's peace, but brings the rest of God and the peace of God into your life and mine. And the first thought is a respectable offering, and then we'll see the mercy of God, and then lastly, we'll look at God has made all things for himself. Do you believe that this morning? God has made all things for himself. That's going to be more of a blessing, I think, than what we even realize. So let's look at the first thought here, and look at verse 1 right there in the book of Genesis. And notice what it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Can you get the picture? He was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Can you tell when somebody is very upset and when their countenance has fallen? This was Cain's position and plight, really, where he was at. And so Cain was not really a happy individual. But you have to understand this. God had already told them what was needed that would be acceptable. But Cain was trying to bring what he thought God should receive. In the day and age in which we live, there's a lot of people that think God thinks like they do, like we do. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Is that true? And God's ways are not our ways. And we are so susceptible to leaning to our own understanding that we have to ask God. The best way to do it is to ask God, "God, I need you today. Or I will start thinking my way, and I will start looking to my ways and forget about you. So, Lord, I need you." And that's what happened with Cain. And you'll find that he continued to go down that path, and it led him to this place. And Abel was an individual who was given towards, listen, I need the Lord. I need God. How about this morning? Do we need the Lord? Amen. Listen, does this world need the Lord? Absolutely. And so we need God in a greater way more than ever before, because there's more darkness upon the earth and less light. And again, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has a mission. He had the church in his mind before, really, an eternity past. And he has a mission for the church, and that is that with the light and the word of God, that the world would be turned upside down. Now, God has not changed, and I'm convinced the mission of the church has not changed either. So what's the matter? What is going on? I think the world has crept into our thinking, or maybe we are thinking in our own selves instead of asking God to guide us, to help us. And so this is where Cain is at. This is Abel's not following this direction. And I want you to see something here, that he had a respect, really, to Abel's offering, but not to Cain's. And he's upset, and he's put out. Let me ask you this question. Does God know where Cain is at? Amen. Yeah. Does God know who Cain is? Yep. Does God know where you and I are at? Does God know who we are? This is important now. And I want you to see something, because the mercy of God is unbiased. The mercy of God is not a respecter of persons. You know how I know that? Because the Word of God says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that how many should come to repentance? Oh, it's not some? It's not a certain group? You mean it's all? And we'll see that right here in the very beginning. And let me ask you this question. Does God know that Cain is getting ready to be the first murderer? He is. He does. So look at the mercy of God here in verse 6. "And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth?" Now that's an important question. The fact is, God already knew why he was upset, did he not? So why did he ask that question? He wanted Cain to go ahead and open up his heart. He said, listen,
So God, when God presents a question, it's not necessarily that he needs to know the answer. He already does. We need to hear ourselves say where we're at. Why? What has brought you to this place? What is it that's in your heart right now? Is it the love of God, or has the world or some problem entered in? Now, the reason why I say that is because I know in all of our lives, because we are human beings and we have the same spirit of a human being, we've been given the Holy Spirit in salvation, but the human spirit, we all know, right? It doesn't take rocket science. You can look at a person's face and you can tell where they're at sometimes, right? If they're upset, if they're happy, you can see it. And especially if you know the individual, like with a mom and a dad with their children, they know when there's a problem. And so he comes to Cain, he says this, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? And I want you to see the mercy of God here. He says this, "If thou doest well, if you do the right thing, if you offer what I've asked, shalt thou not be accepted?" Remember, listen, he had respect unto Abel's, but not unto Cain's. And the reason for that is because it needed to be a blood sacrifice, because it was a picture of the Savior, the Messiah that would come, that was promised to Adam and Eve. So he knew this. It had to be a blood sacrifice, and it had to be the price of the lamb, because it was going to one day be the Lamb of God that would come. And can there be a substitute for the Son of God? Is there any other name in heaven or in earth whereby mankind must be saved? There's no other name. There's no other way. And so God cannot accept that, because it required not our righteousness, but his righteousness. And by the way, listen, when he says, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy," it's the holiness of God that God wants to give to us that we need to be holy. It's the peace of God that we need to be the witness to the world. It's the joy of the Lord that the believer needs to be able to show the world. And by the way, it's not that we put it on. It's that God fills our cup. How full? Halfway? To the top? Overflowing, right? So to the top is for you and I. The overflowing part is the witness to the world, that they see what God has given to us, and not just when we're at church on Sunday. So if the joy is gone after Sunday, then there's a problem. And I'm not going to ask you to admit to this, but I will admit to this. I have gotten up Monday and the joy was gone. And the joy was gone. And maybe more than one day, the joy was gone. Do you know what I need to do? I need to go take some happy pills somewhere and just put a smile on my face, right? No, I need to ask the Lord for his joy. God, give me your understanding. Help me to understand how you've already given me. You want me to abide in you, and you abide in me, and that you've given me your joy, not the joy of the world. Do you remember what he said to his disciples? So how am I going to believe that? I need his help. I need God's help. Listen, you remember the fellow that said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." We need help from the Lord. God never expected us or intended us to walk one day in 1 minute of one day or 1 second of one day without him. He wanted us to be with him all the time. So he says this, look at the mercy of God. "If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted." He's giving him an opportunity, isn't he? He had already made the wrong offering. He says, "If you'll change your mind," that's called repentance, "I'll receive you." Isn't that good? It doesn't matter where we're at. If we will repent and turn to the Lord and say, "Oh God, I need you." For whatever it might be, as a child of God. For whatever it might be for his joy and for his peace, and that he might witness of his grace in and through our lives to others. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. So notice what he says here to Cain. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." In other words, here's what he says already. You're angry already. You're already angry. And you know what he's saying? Remember what the Lord said? If a man is angry with his brother, he's committed what already in his heart? Murder. So you know what he's saying? He's saying you're one step away from murder. Because you've already done it in your heart. So he says, a greater sin lies at the door. You've already made one. You've already done one. And maybe, I don't know this, but maybe he had such a competitive relationship with his brother that he said, well, if he's going to do the right thing, I'm going to do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Just to, for whatever reason. But listen, that's not the spirit of Christ. And so the Lord is giving him an opportunity. The mercy of God is saying, you know what the right thing is to do. And if you do it, you'll be accepted. But if not, there's a greater sin getting ready to take place. And so he gives him a warning with his mercy. And notice he says this, and unto thee shall be his desire. And in the Hebrew, the connotation is there. Listen what the Lord is saying. You are the firstborn. The triune God will not take away your position as the firstborn if you do well. And thou shalt rule over him. You will have the right position. You've not lost anything if you'll do the right thing. Listen, right here, right now, where we are at, we have not lost anything if we will call upon the name of the Lord that he might live his life through your life and mine. And we have to be careful. Listen, the problem comes when we lean to our own understanding and not call upon the Lord to give us his. Let me say that again. The problem comes when we lean on our own understanding and not call upon God to give us his wisdom and understanding. We need that because we can feel one way today and another way the next moment. And so God, give me your stability to not lean to myself, but to wait upon you and upon your word and your guidance in my life. Now, we looked at a respectable offering. We looked at the mercy of God. And I want you to see something here that God has made all things for himself. And to do that, I want to call you over to the book of Proverbs for a moment, chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4 is the key verse, but I want you to see something here. Look at verse 2. Proverbs 16:2 says this, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the what? The spirits. Did you see that? The spirit behind it. What is it? Is it love? Is it kindness? Is it gentleness? Is it the right spirit? Then he says this, commit thy works unto the Lord. Now, all you have to say, all we have to do is say, God, I want you to have your will. And say this, I can't do your will. Isn't that the truth? I can't do your will. I need you to do your will in me. I don't, listen, because I'll start thinking the way that I think, and I'll get things all mixed up. Have you ever thought something, and you were certain you were so right, and found out you were so wrong? It's unfortunate. So commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now watch this, ready? Or on a stable ground. Verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. And we could say, yep, he's created us. He's created the earth, the moon, the stars, the sun. But wait a minute. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Even the wicked for the day of evil. Let's just read verse 5. Even one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And then he says this, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Don't worry, they're not going to get away with it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think, well, how come the wicked prosper? Remember the Psalm of Asaph, Psalm 72? How is it that the wicked, and he says, until I went into the sanctuary, until I went into the house of God, then I understood their end in a moment, like a dream. When one wakes up, it's over. So let's not put our hope and trust in that. Let's put our hope and trust in the Lord and call upon him daily and throughout the day that we might have his wisdom and understanding. Amen. So the Lord says this, and this is going to bring peace, all right? Verse 4 again, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. So in that, God has made everything for himself, and not just everything that you see, but also the situations that come into your life and mine. Every situation that comes into your life and mine are allowed and even directed by the Lord to prove us. In what way? How are we going to respond to the situation? Are we going to call upon the Lord, or are we going to take matters into our own hands? Every time we take matters into our own hand, we won't glorify the Lord. The Bible says that the wrath of man never glorifies God. And so we need to be careful. And I will tell you, I've done that more than once, unfortunately. I acknowledge that, listen, I need God, or I will do that again. But I want you to see something here concerning situations and circumstances in our life, and we'll conclude with this. Let me invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. And I want you to see what this truth will do. This truth will give us a peace that passes understanding. And this is by our shepherd, an example, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, John 19, verse 4. And may God grant us the insight to see it exactly as our Savior sees this. Ready? Pilate therefore went forth again. They're getting ready to crucify the Lord. They've already scourged him. They've put a purple robe on him. They've already mocked him. And now Pilate therefore went forth again, in verse 4, and saith unto them, Behold, I bring forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. So he brings the Lord there. He says, I'm telling you, I want you to know, I've already shamed him and ridiculed him, but I don't find any problems with him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Now I want you to see this also. Now watch this. Pilate, previous to this, was having a conversation with the Lord. And now I want you to see Pilate's profession. He's just a man to Pilate. He's just doing business. But as a governor, as a judge there, he's saying, But I don't find any fault in him, but here's your man. All right. And again, God's not willing that any should perish. When the chief priests, therefore, verse 6, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Now watch this. The Jews answered him. Now we know the Jews set all this up, and it was false. We have a law, verse 7, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Now watch this. Verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. He had some fear already. He said, this is just not right. But now he's the more afraid because now he's what's brought that fear? This is the Son of God. You're getting ready to crucify. Your hands are going to be covered with the blood of the Son of God. So now you've got a problem. So now he's got a decision. Is he going to honor God, or is he going to look to be pleasing in the sight of people? And we know which way he chose. And that was he savored his position and his place before the Jewish community more than the truth. And we can do the same thing, but I want you to see how the Lord answers this. And this is a truth that we can take home and understand that God has made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil. And we don't understand that, but God ordains everything in your life and mine to work out for our what? For our good. Truth. Isn't that hard to sometimes accept? Isn't it hard sometimes to believe that a difficult situation is truly for our good? Right? But here's the thing. That's not the truth. What are we going to believe? The truth is that God's going to work out all things for our good. So we have to say, God, help me. I want to believe the truth. Help my unbelief, Lord. Because if I can really, truly believe that you've worked out all things for my good, can I not have peace? And can I not have joy? Now listen. Happiness is one thing. Joy is another. Happiness is a roller coaster ride. You know, events come and go. I'm happy. I'm not happy. I'm happy. I'm not. But joy comes from the Lord. And what is my joy? I'm a child of the King. Because of the grace of God, I have eternal life. And so, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to give me, not help me. God's not trying to help me. God's trying to bring me to an end of myself and to be completely dependent upon the Lord. I need you to give me your joy. I want to walk in your joy. You have to give it to me. I'm not going to make it up. I'm not going to put on a plastic smile. I want you to give me that truth in my heart to such a degree that it brings your smile on my face. So watch this. Ready? Verse 9. And went again into the judgment hall. Remember, after when Pilate therefore heard this that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Isn't that an interesting question? He's inquiring, but not with a true heart. But Jesus gave no answer. And the Lord knew what he was doing. Now watch this. Then saith, verse 10, Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? You know what he was saying? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I got news for us. Nobody should say, I don't care who you are. Don't you know who I am? I'll tell you who you are. You are what you are because of the grace of God. No matter what it is. You have been given. You haven't gotten a thing. Your intellect, the next heartbeat, has been given to you and I by the grace of God. People look what I've done. Oh boy. You better watch out. Because that's not the place you want to walk. That will get you in trouble. God has given you the intellect, the strength, and whatever is needed to give you what He created you. He created your path. Isn't that amazing? So, is God out of control right now? And concerning His Son, is God out of control? Is God out of control in your life? Is God out of control in your life? No, He's in control, isn't He? Now, there are times that things happen that we need God to make that very clear to us. In fact, really, the truth is, I need God every day to help me to know that He's in control. And so it's a good thing to call upon the Lord. So Pilate comes to him and says this, verse 10, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power, isn't that something, to crucify thee and have power to release thee? He's not seeing Jesus for who he is he? Not really. Now look at this answer, and this is what we need, I think, to help us. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me. And that is true in your life and mine of every situation in life. Every circumstance, every situation in life, whether it be an individual or a situation or a circumstance, realize this, that thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. If God brings home that truth, you and I have rest. If God brings home that truth to our heart, that God, you have allowed this for your glory and my good, I don't have to react. I don't have to respond. I don't even have to answer. But the love of God can come forth. Listen, do you think Jesus Christ was being unkind to Pilate when he said that? No. Jesus cared for his soul too. He wanted him to understand this. Everything that you have has been given to you. You can't do anything. The things that you do have been given to you. You would not be able to do them. So again, notice, Jesus answered verse 11, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now look at this. But he didn't really do it the right way. And from thenceforth, from that point forward, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. So he brought him forth. What's the end of the story? The Lord was crucified. The Lord already knew. I don't understand this, but listen. The Lord, he gave him an opportunity. Pilate still had the choice. But God, being God, knew what the outcome was going to be. He needed to go to the cross, but Pilate made his choice. And every circumstance and every situation that comes into your life and mine, if we will call upon the Lord, listen, that's the key. God, help me to see this as you see it. Jesus, at that very moment, saw that everything that Pilate was doing was given to him from the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Don't answer it out loud. Do you see every situation and circumstance in your life as coming from God. Not always in my life. But listen, we can walk in that and we can rest in that if we'll start off every day saying, God, help me to see that you are in control. And he's not going to give you foresight to see what's going to come, but he's going to give you peace in your heart that you're in his hands. And that you are a child of the King. And no man, isn't that good, can take you out. No man can take you out. You are his. And listen, what was the greatest way that the Lord brought glory to his heavenly Father? To submit and trust. Remember the cup that my Father has given me? Because he saw that the cup was given to him by his Father. Shall I not drink it? How about us? The cup that the Father has given me and you. Shall we not drink it? What's needed to do that? The grace of God. The peace of God. The assurance. And how do we get that? You can't muster that up. You don't just make yourself do it. You call upon the Lord. And say, God, give me that wisdom. Give me that insight. And then all of a sudden, when we walk through those things, it's not that they don't hurt, that they're not difficult. Jesus' sweat drops as they were of blood. But he went through it, didn't he? And did he do it with the joy of the Lord? He did. And when he was on the cross between the two thieves, the witness of God, the testimony of God while he was dying went out. And both of them were railing on the Lord. And somehow he saw the love of God and said, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me. And what did the Lord say? Today. Amen. Today. Hey, when does the Lord want you to have his joy? When you're on the cross, when you feel like you're being crucified. Today. How will you get that? Muster it up yourself? You'll never get it. Because you're a child of the King, you never get it. You must ask him. You must ask him for that. Lord, help me to love the unlovable. If I'm to, listen, you won't get very far with me to love the unlovable. I won't make it. I know that. But I'm not kidding you. There have been situations and circumstances where I called upon the Lord. And you know what I saw? They don't know the Lord or they're disconnected. And it was easy. And I felt, I'm telling you, the Lord intervened and I was taken by it. And you know what happened after that situation passed? I praised the Lord. I thanked the Lord. My wife and our family is going through a difficult time. I think the grace of God is there. I'm going to tell on my wife. Can I do that just for a moment? My wife says, what are you going to do? We were having our devotion yesterday, and sometimes, just sometimes, all right, we'll have a devotion, and we'll use a devotional book, and it'll bring out scripture and make some comments there. And if my kids are having some kind of a conflict, I know you didn't know that, but sometimes they do, they'll have a little bit of conflict, and I'll ad lib the devotional, you know. I'll say, so now, if you do this to your sibling, right? I get their attention in a big hurry. They'll look at me and they'll start smiling. Sometimes I'll do it to where they can't tell. They can't tell. They can't tell. And they'll say, did you make that up? I'll tell them, yeah, I added that in there, right? Well, we had a devotional yesterday. And my kids are looking at me and my wife's looking at me, giving me the tilted head like, yeah. And she says, I think you asked me if I was making that up. She says, I want to make sure that says, because they're dated. I want to make sure that says June 12th. And here's the, there were two paragraphs. As I started that paragraph, they were already on me. And I kept reading and they really thought I was making it all up. But man, if God didn't meet our needs, I'm telling you, whatever you will, the Spirit of God, I sense the Spirit of God giving us what we needed. And she's, I need to see that. I said, I want you to see it. And God stepped in. Do you know what? The only reason why God won't step in is we just don't call him. But if you'll call, hasn't he promised to answer? Wait and show us great and mighty things which we don't know. So God's invitation is come. Call. And I will answer. And I will draw near. And you will be the witness. Not a verbal witness, just a verbal witness. What good is just a verbal witness if I have a life that doesn't match it? And not a life that I fabricate, but the life of Christ. God's life in me that I cannot manufacture. So if I need God's life that I can't manufacture, should I call on him every day? And throughout the day, I need him. I can't make that up. And if I do, I'm not going to be happy. I'll be miserable. I love God. That was Peter's problem. Peter's problem was he loved the Lord. Though all forsake thee, he was still in his own power. Remember when the Lord said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you're converted from what? He was already saved. When you stop living the life of self and start experiencing and calling upon the Spirit of God, then you'll have the Spirit of God to strengthen your brethren. And so what is it that we need today? As a saved child of God, oh, how much we need him. The Spirit, the Comforter of God that he's given to us. And then if we don't know him as our Savior, it all begins by trusting him as our personal Savior. Would you stand as we prepare together for the Lord's invitation? The opportunity is ours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the understanding, the wisdom that it brings. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts and help us to realize you're just a call away. In fact, you're right here. And Lord, you want to meet our needs. Increase our faith, Lord. Help us to walk in you and in your love, that you might be glorified and our lives and families blessed. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.